It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and Darlene is actually taking a much needed break this weekend. So I hope you're enjoying your day, Dar, if you're listening. And so I'm going to be your host today, Christina. And before we get started, we just wanted to let Kevin Berger know that our thoughts and prayers are with her as she is begins her treatment for breast cancer. And we were saddened to hear the news, and we just love her. She is such an amazing woman and has made such a positive influence on so many people, and we just really appreciate the support she's given us, and just to let her know that we admire her courage as she's going through this, and really are just praying for her for a great success in her treatment and for a full recovery as she comes through everything. So, and today, our co-host is Anna Durhock, and she is currently studying her master's in nutrition, and she has been working at Nutritional Weight and Wellness for a few years now, and she is also working with clients and teaching our classes. So, Anna, today our topic is something that both you and I enjoy quite a bit, and I have experienced in the past, and you are currently experiencing, so maybe you can let people know what we are talking about today.
All right. Well, Christina, yes, it is very close to both of our hearts. I'm pregnant. So about 13 weeks.
And so, how old is Isabel right now?
It was her first birthday yesterday. So yeah, she'll be 18 months.
So you'll have a nice busy household, but it'll be fun, I'm sure.
It'll be fun. They'll be close. So, but what we're talking about today basically is pregnancy and nutrition and how to eat well for both you and the baby growing inside you. So very excited and ready to give as much advice as we can.
Yes, so a very important time of life, something that nutrition plays a big role in. So, Anna, what do you think our listeners really need to know first about nutrition during pregnancy?
Well, I think they need to realize that they are eating for two and they need to eat more calories, but we only need an actual extra 500 calories. So it's not a time to just eat whatever you want and in huge quantities.
Right.
Because we don't want to gain extra weight.
Right. So I think a lot of women think, well, now I can eat whatever I want because I'm going to get fat anyways.
That's right. Not the best way to think.
So. No.
Yeah.
So how should they be getting these calories then if it's not just a bunch of junk?
Well, it should be, you know, you all know, the listeners that listen regularly, you know, vegetable carbohydrates, good protein, healthy lean protein, and healthy fats.
And not just chips and M&Ms,
no.
Right? And, you know, there are some things that we definitely want to stay away from, and that would be the trans fats, like we talk about a lot, and, of course, the processed sugars. And it's interesting, you know, there's been a lot of studies in these areas, and the Harvard University School of Public Health came out with a study that showed trans fats actually interfere with the formation of omega-3. And I think a lot of people are familiar with that, but that is something that's really important to think about when women are pregnant, because those omega-3 fatty acids are so essential for the health and development of your baby's nervous system, their brain development. So we want to stay away from those trans fats, definitely.
And they also found that it lowers the overall fat content of breast milk. Trans fats do. So again, mothers, if you're planning on breastfeeding, you know, just make sure that you're staying away from it at all times.
Right. And, you know, the fat that is in the breast milk is very key for the babies. It's makes up 50% of breast milk. So that fat also, even while they're in utero, is important for their development. And then when they are born and you're breastfeeding. And what happens when we're eating these trans fats, they're very rigid and inflexible, which makes it harder for the nervous system to function properly when they're being fed that. And again, foods that trans fats are in would be your baked goods, a lot of boxed things. And nowadays, too, I mean, a lot of things are saying, oh, 0 grams, but there's still trans fats in there. Saltine crackers, which, you know, I had a lot of morning sickness, and a lot of people said, oh, just keep saltine crackers by your bed. Well, then I would be giving my babies trans fats.
So really, I mean, DHA is probably the best thing for a baby's brain development and retinal development. So we really want to push that and eat foods that are high in that. And those would be, you know, cold water fish and things like that.
Right. You know, it looks like we already have a caller. And since we are talking about breastfeeding, usually we don't bring callers in this soon, but I think it kind of goes right along with it. And that way Allison doesn't have to hold for too long. But hi, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
What was your question for us today?
Well, I have a question about breastfeeding. And, of course, we always hear that it's better to breastfeed than not for the baby. And this, I'm pregnant with my second baby.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. Thank you. And just, you know, kind of contemplating when that time happens. And we'll try to breastfeed if I can. Last baby, I wasn't able to breastfeed for a couple different reasons for very long. And I look at how healthy my little one is now compared to his cousin, who's the same age. And that mom did breastfeed for like 6 or 8 months. And I'm wondering, you know, we hear all those studies and then something like this happens and it really makes me second guess those studies. But I'm wondering if you can talk about how the mother's nutrition plays a role in the immune system of that new baby, because there must be some link there. If you're not eating well,
right,
is it really best to breastfeed? I guess is kind of the bottom line question.
Right. I mean, I think, again, you know, I think it's ideal to be able to breastfeed. Now, obviously, if, you know, I think sometimes women have situations where they just aren't able to, and I think we can't, you know, beat ourselves up about that. But yes, how the mother is eating is the key factor in the quality of breast milk. You know, because what we eat goes right into that breast milk. So if a mother is eating a lot of trans fats, they're going to get the trans fats in the breast milk. If they're eating a lot of sugar, the immune benefits aren't going to be as great, because sugar very much so affects our immune system, you know, even the good bacteria and things like that. So yes, I believe that that makes a huge difference. So it's important for mothers to pay attention to what they're eating, even when they're breastfeeding as well. So, I mean, is it better or not when they're, depending on how they're eating? You know, there's always still going to be some benefits in their breast milk that aren't in a formula unless you're giving some added things. So obviously, if your child's real healthy, you've been doing some other things just along, you know, what they're eating and things like that. So if a woman can't, there are things that she can do to make sure their child is still healthy. You know, I don't know if that kind of answers your question a little bit.
I do think I've been doing some things right. I think genetics has played a part too. But for the second time around, if that, you know, something similar happens, do you have any specific suggestions on, you know, making sure their immune system is strong?
Yeah, I make sure that, you know, adding things like giving them cod liver oil once, you know, in with their formula. I think sometimes they even recommend to wait maybe till they're 2 or 2 to 4 months with that. Bifidus, if you can buy organic formula. For people who are interested, and I know Anna has used this a lot, there is a way to make homemade formula. And if people are interested in that, they can maybe just give our office a call. But otherwise, there are things you can do to beef up infant formula. So, yeah.
Great. So, great answers. I'm going to keep listening. This is a great topic. So.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, you bet. Bye-bye.
Okay. So I just thought we'd throw that in there since we were on the topic.
Yeah,
and I think,
perfect.
That there are things that women can do. Ideally, breastfeeding is great, but sometimes you just can't.
Yep.
So why don't we talk about morning sickness? Have you had any of that?
Well, it was worse with my first child, Isabel. And but no, I haven't really had a ton of it. It's been very, very low key compared to last time.
Great. And what are some, and I think sometimes some women have it and some don't, and they're just more prone to it. But are there some things that you found that have helped reduce it?
Yes. There's two major things. And I know one of them is just balancing out your hormones. And the other that goes right along with that is balancing out your blood sugar.
Right. And I would be someone who has experienced my fair share of
yes,
all-day
have.
Sickness with my pregnancies. And my second one was much better. And I think a key part of that was this blood sugar balance and the hormone balance. Because both of them play a major role in how we feel. And people can tell if their blood sugar is out of balance even when they're not pregnant. And then when they're having to give a lot of nutrients to their babies. And if you're feeding on a lot of high sugar foods, which sometimes are the only things that people want to eat, it's going to lead to a spike in your blood sugar, which is then going to cause a crash. And that's a lot of times what will stimulate that morning sickness, the nausea, and high estrogen is going to create, high insulin will create more estrogen in the body, which is then going to get your hormones out of balance. And then you're just going to feel terrible. So maybe you can tell us a little bit of the stuff that worked for you, Anna.
All right. Well, first of all, I just started taking an omega-6 fatty acid called GLA, and I know we've talked about that on the radio before, but GLA, again, it's omega-6 fatty acid, and it plays a huge role in just balancing out our hormones and also with skin issues. So I took some of that, and then I also just basically started eating more balanced. I always made sure that I was eating like a good carbohydrate, which is fruit or vegetables, and protein is huge, you guys. I can't stress that enough. Protein will help with your morning sickness, so make sure you're eating enough of it. And also the healthy fat, because that is the only thing that will stabilize our blood sugar. So make sure you're getting enough of that.
And another thing is making sure that we're eating that balance frequently enough throughout the day. And I think that's something that it took me a little while to catch on with the first time. And, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like eating, but the longer you go without eating, the worse you feel. So I really stress for people to try and eat every couple hours, even when they're not pregnant, but especially if you're pregnant and having a lot of morning sickness or nausea throughout the whole day. And like Anna was saying, getting that balance. And you have to think about it. You know, if we're not eating frequently enough and putting enough nutrients in, we're going to be very depleted because our little ones are taking a lot of those nutrients out of us. And it's actually time for a break. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. And speaking of sugars, here's a little interesting tidbit to think about while you're on commercial. When you are shopping and walk past that Cinnabon place and get pulled in by the smell, which my mother and I used to do all the time when we were shopping, one of those Cinnabon cinnamon rolls has 114 grams of carbohydrates, which turns into 28.5 teaspoons of sugar, and it's 730 calories. So don't eat that if you don't want to have that nausea. Plus, think of all the sugar and trans fats you're giving your baby while you're pregnant. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you have questions, feel free to give us a call at 651-641-1071. Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist and mother of two, and I am here with Anna Durhock, who is a nutrition educator and counselor and also a mother of one and one on the way in pregnancy right now. And we are talking about good nutrition for pregnancy. And in the first segment, we were just talking a little bit about the dangers of eating the trans fats when you're pregnant and, you know, talked a little bit about balancing our blood sugars. But, you know, I think it's just important for women when they are pregnant to remember that the foods that they are eating and what they're putting in their mouth really is affecting the health of their baby.
It's interesting that you say that about like how things are transferred to the baby through the placenta or, you know, through blood. And me and Christina were at a conference a couple weeks ago, and the speaker was Dr. Fred Pescatore, who we had on just a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
also,
he was a guest.
He was wonderful. He's an MD, and he works mainly with children. And he had mentioned something about things in umbilical cord blood. Do you remember what he
I do.
About?
It was quite scary, actually. And he was talking about some research that has been done just to see what types of things were being found in umbilical cord blood. And they found 287 chemicals, and 217 of them were known as neurotoxins, and 208 were known to cause birth defects.
And guess where those chemicals are coming from?
Where might they be from?
Usually what the mother is eating.
Yes. So, you know, for those of you who are trying to eat well, and, you know, when you're pregnant, it's a great time to really be focusing on, you know, trying to eat well. Or even, you know, I think sometimes people wait until they are pregnant and then start changing their diet. But even if you are trying or, even if you know that someday you would like to have children, now is the time to change your eating habits, because, you know, how we eat even years before we ever get pregnant is going to affect our pregnancies and our health and just the things that are being stored in our body. And, you know, the better you take care of yourself, the more you'll be able to prevent just complications that occur during pregnancy. And, you know, we really have the power to, affect, you know, just what goes on. And we don't want to increase the risk of problems by eating processed junk food when we're pregnant or even before pregnancy.
Right. And, Christina, we have calls.
Let's go ahead and take a call. It looks like we have another Anna on the phone with a question. Hi, Anna. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
What was your question for us today?
I don't eat a lot of meat because I don't like it.
Okay.
Is it okay if I supplement like a protein shake with it? It's aspartame-free and gluten-free and all that, but it's just supposed to boost it.
Sure. I think using protein powders sometimes are fine. The real thing is always the best, but sometimes if you don't eat as much, then that would definitely be an alternative. You know, eggs and cheese are another way. I think as much as you can get the meat in, or turkey or fish even, is good. Another, I think it's great you bring up the issue with aspartame. A lot of protein powders are using aspartame, or even sucralose too is something to watch for, which is Splenda.
Okay.
And I'd also make sure it's a whey protein powder.
It's soy.
Okay. I would switch to whey.
Is that going to hurt? Because I don't process lactose very well. Is that going to make a difference?
Yep. No, whey does not have lactose in it. So
okay.
It's a dairy source, but it's a, you know, the protein part that's taken out. So even for people who are lactose intolerant, they can handle a whey protein powder.
Okay.
All right. And
thank you.
There's a great protein shake recipe on our website through our radio show link. So it gives you a nice balanced meal.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. It looks like we have another caller with a question. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good.
Here's my question. I have a niece who 3 or 4 weeks ago had a C-section with her first child. Afterwards, she was given IV antibiotics, and she developed a hospital-acquired bacteria Clostridia difficile, or C. diff.
Uh-huh.
Which created a great degree of nausea and vomiting. And obviously, from a nutritional standpoint, she's very deficient in a whole number of ways. She's basically had nausea and vomiting with diarrhea for about 3 weeks. She's been in and out of the hospital 3 or 4 times. What would you recommend she do to try and get her normal bacteria back into her gut appropriately?
Okay.
Well, Lori, the first thing I would do is just get her on some good bifidus bacteria.
Okay.
It can come in powdered form or encapsulated form, and she wants to take it 10 minutes before each meal if she can.
Okay.
And then, you know, just try to eat more balanced, cut out a lot of the sugar in her diet.
Okay.
Another probiotic or good bacteria like bifidus that is would also be good to include is Saccharomyces boulardii, which has been found to really work well with the C. diff. So I would use the bifidus and look for something that's called Saccharomyces boulardii, which we have at our office. It might be a little more difficult to find, but both of those would really help. And like Anna said, really watching sugars, because those will feed that bad bacteria. Something that, I mean, if she's still having a lot of nausea and things, maybe doing something like a smoothie that she can just sip on throughout the day, and maybe even putting in some, you know, extra vitamins, like even a powdered multivitamin or something like that, might help to just make sure getting her nutrient levels up while she's so depleted.
Okay. And she lives in Arizona, but I think I might call your office and schedule a consult for her via the telephone. Would that be possible?
That's great. We do a lot of phone consults. That would be wonderful.
Okay. I'll do that as a gift to her. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Sorry.
Bye.
All right. Well, it is already time for another break. The time flies by. So when we come back, we'll talk more about how to take care of yourself when you are pregnant. And another little fun fact just to think about for after your children are born, that they have found that babies who are given gluten-containing grains, which would be your wheat, rye, barley, oats, before 6 months of age, actually have a 450% increase in developing type 1 diabetes. So giving your baby healthy food after they're born is important as well. So again, feel free to call us with questions at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Sarah, did you hear about the new diet to drop 2 dress sizes in 2 weeks?
Ugh, I'm so sick of hearing about new diets that you can lose all this weight only to gain back more. Remember when we tried the cabbage soup diet? Yuck, the smell of cooked cabbage still gets to me.
I do need to lose weight, but I wish there was a plan to keep it off and do it healthy. Haven't we tried everything out there?
Feels like it. Hey, I listened to that show on FM 107. It's called Dishing Up Nutrition, and I heard them talking about a weight and wellness series.
Oh, yeah, I like that show. Too. I learn a lot from tuning in, and my favorite part is that they don't believe in dieting either.
Given our track records of diets, I'd have to say that I believe that too. Low fat, low carb, I'm sick of them all. I end up tired, I'm cranky, and I'm regaining any weight I lose.
If you're sick of all those fad diets or losing weight only to gain it all back and then some, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness and sign up for their 6-week classes at 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438. Or log on to weightandwellness.com.
I'm looking at you through the glass, don't know how much time has passed. Oh God, it feels like forever, but no one ever tells you that forever feels like home.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here with Anna Durhock, nutrition counselor. And we have been talking about eating right during pregnancy and just how important that is. Again, not a time for us to just eat whatever we want because we can, but really remembering that whatever we eat is going to affect our babies and their health. So I think something we wanted to touch on a little bit is the whole issue of what we are drinking and not just what we are eating.
Yes, because there's a lot of junk in stuff that we drink also, like the energy shakes that are, or the energy drinks that are out there. Specifically Diet Pop and just regular soda.
So what should we be drinking, Anna?
Water.
Right.
Lots of water.
And don't you notice that you feel better when you're pregnant if you don't let yourself get dehydrated?
Yes. I feel like I have more energy. I don't get headaches as often. So again, it's super important.
Right. And a good habit to get into for when you, after you do have your baby and you're on nursing, because
yes,
you can very easily get dehydrated.
Yes.
You know, and this whole issue of Diet Pop, some people, you know, even when they're pregnant, think that it's okay because they're not giving their baby all the sugar. But, you know, what is it that we're having instead of sugar?
Chemicals. It's all chemicals, Christina. It's, you know, and they're, and most of those artificial sweeteners that they put in the Diet Pops and even just the diet foods are neurotoxins, so they actually kill our brain cells.
Yes, and when we're looking at these babies inside of us, they are very susceptible to that. And, you know, pop, caffeine, and coffee, things like that are going to dehydrate us too. So if you are having that, you should be drinking even more water.
Yes. So I also wanted to touch on nitrates.
Mm-hmm.
Nitrates are huge. I mean, they're in a lot of our foods, a lot of processed meats.
Right.
Have them. Do you want to? Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. So, and everybody's always saying, you know, pregnant women need to stay away from nitrates. But I think that most people should just stay
right
away from them.
Again, nitrates are a preservative that are in a lot of cured meats. And again, just like the Diet Pop have chemicals in them, these foods also have chemicals and can be very detrimental to health. They have seen that sometimes what they break down into our body are carcinogenic, meaning that they can contribute to cancer. And even the Journal of Nutrition in Cancer found that women who ate high amounts of nitrates while pregnant had higher rates of brain cancer, diabetes, and leukemia in their offspring. So again, just these things that we can do to really make an investment in our children's health for the future by avoiding those types of things.
Right. So,
and it looks like we've got a couple callers on the line. Looks like Barb has a question for us. Hi, Barb. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
What was your question for us today?
My question is, my daughter is about 13 weeks pregnant, and she's having headaches.
Okay. I think this is a great question for Anna, because I think she had a little bit of headaches with her first pregnancy.
Yes, that's probably even more than so in nauseousness. So, and even right now, I get them. And I noticed the first thing that happens is I just get low blood sugar, and it's usually when I'm hungry. And so if she can just keep her blood sugar balanced, eat more balanced. And also I found that the chiropractor was a huge relief from it too.
Sure.
So, and drink plenty of water, obviously, too.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you very much.
And just watching not to snack on the high sugar stuff, because that's gonna maybe an hour later gonna give her a headache. Does she pretty much have them all day long, or?
No, just off and on.
Okay, so yeah, it's probably a blood sugar thing.
Okay.
So, all right.
So basically, just eating regularly and.
Yep, and getting the good protein, carb, and fat together.
Yep.
I think, Anna, haven't you said before that the protein really helped
with
your headaches?
Yep, even if I just ate some nuts with a little fruit, it helped tremendously. So.
Right.
Okay, thank
you. All right,
much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. We also have another caller on the phone, Pat. Hi, Pat. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good show. I love to listen to you guys every weekend.
Well, thank you.
I am a reformed eater. I was a horrible, horrible eater until I came to your guys' office about 4 months ago.
Well, great. Are you feeling better?
I have a little six-month-old that at 2 months, it was kind of either the doctor wanted to put him on drugs for colic or I just opted to change my diet, and it's helped considerably.
Oh, great.
We're not sure if he's got a gluten or a dairy allergy.
Okay.
But I'm nursing, and so the choices for me have been really hard, what to eat, but I'm wondering now if I should start introducing some solids.
Okay. How old?
He's 6 months.
Okay.
He's almost 6 months, and he's a 20-pounder, so he's definitely a big boy.
He's a big boy.
Wow.
I'm just wondering if I do start introducing solids, what would be...
Sure.
The best choice for his little, we're not quite sure what allergen he has yet or if he's outgrown it by now. I'm just so scared to try to eat any dairy or.
Great question. Which I would say for any child, I would not introduce dairy or gluten, wheat things at that age anyways. Their digestive systems just can't handle it. So some great first foods for babies would be something like avocado. And you can mash that up if they don't like it. Sometimes even mashing it with a little bit of banana helps. And bananas are very easy for them to digest. You don't want to do a lot because of the sugar, but a little bit. Actually, one of the first foods that we use for our babies is soft cooked egg yolk. Okay. You don't want to do the white, but if you soft cook the egg and then just take out the yolk, and sometimes mixing it with a little bit of breast milk.
Okay.
And whenever you start anything, you know, you usually have to do a couple bites the first time and just so they get used to it. But then really meat and vegetables are the best things to be giving babies. They can actually digest proteins pretty well, much better than they can grains. So
he can actually have meat at that age.
Yeah, probably won't make that the first thing. But once he starts eating, you know, I just would cook up some chicken breast and some turkey and just then grind it up and, you know, and then you usually need to add a little bit of pure water and mix in some vegetables, things like that. It's great.
Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yep. Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we're probably going to have to take another break now. So, again, we are talking about health and nutrition during pregnancy. And if you have any other questions, feel free to give us a call, 651-641-1071. And you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Is it time you found a new approach to an old health problem? Nutritional Weight and Wellness offers classes and consultations to address everything from weight loss to diabetes to depression. Just choose the format and location that best meets your needs. You can count on a warm reception and sound nutritional advice from their caring, committed staff. First, envision taking a class with a group of people who are also health-minded as you learn to eat in a way that makes you feel better today and builds a foundation for a healthier tomorrow. Next, imagine that you're meeting individually with a nutritionist to discuss your health concerns. You leave with a personalized eating plan that fits your lifestyle and strategies to implement it. Now, don't you feel good about having made this investment in yourself? Nutritional Weight and Wellness invites you to call them at 651-699-3438. Offices conveniently located in St. Paul, Wyzetta, and White Bear Lake.
Call Nutritional Weight and Wellness today, 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438.
Reach out, touch faith.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am licensed nutritionist Christina Swigert, here with nutrition educator and counselor Anna Durhock, both who have experienced pregnancy, and Anna is about 13 weeks into her second pregnancy right now. So we are talking about nutrition for pregnancy. And before we move into anything else, I just want to mention that we have got a couple classes coming up for people. And I know we oftentimes get calls for our classes for young adults and for feeding kids. So we've got a couple on the calendar. For teenagers and young adults, we have a two-hour class called Nutrition for Young Adults, and we will be teaching that on Wednesday evening, June 13th, at our Wayzata office. So if you want more information on registering for that, please call 952-345-0766. And then a little further out, we are going to be having our Smart Nutrition for Healthy Kids class again, and that will be in August, and we are actually having that at our St. Paul office. So the number for that office is 651-699-3438. And remember, you can always go to our website, www.weightandwellness.com, to keep up on our latest class schedules. Our Weight and Wellness series will be starting up again here in a couple weeks. So we teach those at all our offices, White Bear, Wayzata, and St. Paul. So the classes, I think, are always a great way to just increase your knowledge, which knowledge is very powerful when it comes to making lifestyle changes. So looks like we've got another caller on the phone, but why don't we go ahead, she doesn't mind waiting a little bit, get in a little bit more information here about some good prevention for some health issues. A very common thing for women to experience after pregnancy is postpartum depression. And unfortunately, this is very much a growing problem for young mothers, or mothers of any age, really, soon after they give birth. So, Anna, what is something that women can do before and during pregnancy to really prevent getting postpartum depression?
Well, the biggest thing is just to eat good animal protein or whey protein if you don't like a lot of meat type of products. And because those are what supplies our B vitamins and also some of our DHA. So, and those all help make our neurotransmitters.
Right. So when we are eating proteins, and really the best proteins for us to support our brain health is animal proteins, our animal proteins. And if you are a vegetarian, then you just really need to make sure that you are working hard to make complete proteins. If you're willing to eat eggs, that would be a great way. But when we eat these proteins and we have enough good bacteria in our digestive system, we are actually breaking them down and making more B vitamins, which are great for mood and the brain. And we also break those proteins down into what's called amino acids. And those are what our body uses to make our neurotransmitters, such as serotonin and dopamine. And those are our feel-good brain chemicals. So, you know, whenever I'm working with women who are pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant, I really put a lot of emphasis on making sure they're getting protein all throughout the day.
Right. It's so important. One of my good friends just had her baby, and she had postpartum with the first one, and she started noticing symptoms with the second, and she was eating a lot of the Mad Woman Foods tea cakes, which are a great snack, don't get me wrong, but
right.
She wasn't eating a ton of protein, and I told her, Jen, the first thing you need to do is start eating protein.
Right.
It's so important. And then she started taking DHA.
Sure. So those omega-3 fatty acids are also very important during and after. Mm. And so, you know, especially that DHA that we've been mentioning, and we can get that from food, you know, those wild cold water fish, especially salmon, sardines, mm-hmm. actually are a great way to get omega-3s. And one thing that we do recommend for a lot of women during pregnancy and even when they're nursing, and again, can't forget the free-range organic eggs are a great way to get DHA. But, and I've done this, and I think Anna too, is supplement actually with DHA, which comes from algae. And that should be in breast milk as well, another good way to boost up your breast milk. But they have done a lot of studies with DHA that show it really improves children's IQ. It helps with their dexterity, with their nervous system development, and their eye development as well. So why don't we go ahead and take our next caller here? It looks like we've got Melissa on the line. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi.
My question doesn't necessarily relate to pregnancy, but I think it could apply eventually. I am starving in the morning after breakfast.
Okay.
I usually eat between 6:45
okay.
and 7:45.
Okay.
And I eat in the car while I drive to work because
okay.
I have a long commute.
Sure.
And by 9 o'clock, a lot of times my stomach starts rumbling again. I usually eat an apple. I've been having like a pita with peanut butter in it, okay. And like all fruit jelly.
Okay.
And I know there's probably too much sugar in that, but I'm just trying to get some protein in. And then I'm also having like cheese sticks.
Okay.
Too. So I'm just looking for something that's quick and easy I can eat in the car.
Right. Well, one thing, I don't know what time you're getting up. I usually encourage people to make sure they're eating within an hour of getting up in the morning. So, but a great thing that you could do is have some hard-boiled eggs and just peel them before you leave so you can eat those.
Okay.
Peanut butter has a little bit of protein, but it's more a fat than a protein.
Okay.
And the cheese would be okay. Sometimes I think if you could get some eggs or, you know, some people even do leftover meat, or you can look for some nitrate-free, like turkey or chicken sausages that you can have ready and warmed up and eat those. You know, you can just chew on those.
Even the protein shake?
Yep, a protein shake you could make, and then you can just drink that on the way.
What would I put in the protein? What would I put in it, or what would I use?
Right. We've got I'll kind of tell you what's in it, and our recipes on our website. If you go to weightandwellness.com and click on the radio show, there's a link for some recipes, and it's a protein shake. It's got plain yogurt, fruit, coconut milk or cream, and some protein powder, whey protein powder.
Okay.
And or we do have a recipe in there for an egg bake that sometimes people make, and then, you know, you could warm it up and maybe eat that. It'd be a quicker thing you could eat before you leave.
Okay.
But
when I get to work even.
Yeah. As long as it's not too much longer. But you know, you probably need a snack by 9 if you're eating breakfast at 6 or 7 anyways, but you shouldn't be like feeling desperately hungry at that point either.
Okay.
So yeah, trying to get some good protein if it's eggs or meat or something, and then the carb and fat too. Just, I probably wouldn't have fruit and pita. If you can get some vegetables, that's great. Otherwise maybe, you know, maybe a wassa cracker and a piece of fruit and put some peanut butter on the wassa cracker or something.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Great question that can apply to people who are pregnant or even not pregnant. So again, you know, we've been talking a lot about balancing out what we're eating throughout the day. Keeping that blood sugar balance while you're pregnant helps you feel better. And I think, Emmy, do we need to take a break? I think, is it break time? Yeah. So I didn't want to jump into anything when we need to take a break. So
sorry, Pilar was talking to me.
That's okay. Distractions, distractions. All right. So why don't we go to a break? And when we come back, we can kind of close up with some few closing comments. We'll be back in a minute.
Congratulations. It's a new addition. A beautiful new office. The nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness have helped thousands of people make healthy, even life-altering changes in the way that they eat and the way that they feel. And now it's more convenient than ever to tap into their expertise. Nutritional Weight and Wellness opens a third location on February 5th, located in beautiful White Bear Lake. Go Bears! Just like at the offices in St. Paul and Wayzata, this office will be a place for individual nutrition consultations and for nutrition classes. Stop in and visit the newest office on Linden Avenue, just off County Road E, a few blocks east of Highway 61. If you live in the North Metro, here's one more reason to work with Nutritional Weight and Wellness. They're smart, helpful, provide great motivation, and now they're convenient, too. Find out more about the consultation and classes in St. Paul, Wayzata, and in White Bear Lake at their website. It's weightandwellness.com for the nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
We are back on Dishing Up Nutrition, and I'm Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist with Anna Durhock, who is working on her master's in nutrition to become a licensed nutritionist, and she teaches classes and works with clients. And we've been talking about just having good nutrition during pregnancy, and really before and after as well, are key. And one thing that we want to make sure we touched on before we're done here is just the whole issue of gestational diabetes. And you know, more and more women are really starting to experience that. And it's a type of diabetes that shows up in pregnancy. And the cause of it, you know, a lot of times is because the body does have an increased need for glucose to support the baby. And a woman's insulin levels, if she's not careful, can really increase and start causing more insulin resistance and gestational diabetes. And but Anna, what a lot of times is really the root of getting this gestational diabetes for a lot of women?
Well, it's just eating too much refined sugar, just like, you know, normal type 2 diabetes. And that can be you know, refined sugar we talk about is anything from cereals to pasta to cake and ice cream. You know, even the granola bars that, you know, are said to be somewhat healthy,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if they're low fat, you know, we know that that's not, you know, the best thing for us. So this can ultimately lead to insulin resistance and then to gestational diabetes.
Right. And, you know, it does very much affect the health of the baby as well. You know, the insulin does not pass the placenta, but that extra glucose that is going around in the mother's system is really putting more stress on the baby's pancreas, and they're having to produce extra insulin to try and get rid of this glucose. And oftentimes this leads to what they call macrosomia, which is basically a big baby who has stored a lot of fat. And oftentimes it can cause problems right after delivery because the baby has been producing so much insulin that once they're out and don't have this extra glucose coming from the mother, that they all of a sudden have a blood sugar drop after they've been born, and can put them at some risk for breathing problems right after delivery.
And then at a way higher risk for developing type 2 when they're adults. So, and also, once you've had gestational diabetes, women have a 2 in 3 chance of it returning in the second pregnancy.
Right.
So that's kind of scary. So again, you want to make sure you're eating well if you've had gestational diabetes after and, you know, throughout your entire life, so you can decrease your risk.
Right. And, you know, maybe we can mention a couple snacks. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes that's a hard thing. We're about done here, but I think sometimes snack ideas are something that's difficult. And we've talked about protein, and somebody actually called in with a question about the difference between soy and whey protein, because we talked about the smoothies. And whey is a complete protein, and it's a dairy source, and very much more beneficial for the body. A lot of people can tolerate it. Now, there is debate on whether soy is a complete protein. We don't consider it to be fully complete because it is really deficient in some essential amino acids. And honestly, a lot of people are very sensitive to soy, and it's very processed here, the way it's grown. And really, a lot of soy is genetically modified. And the other thing to remember is that it's estrogenic. So for pregnant women or even with children, I really discourage the use of it just because of how it can affect hormones. So, Anna, maybe you can share a couple of your favorite snacks that you use to really keep your blood sugar balanced so you don't get nauseous and those headaches that you were talking about.
Yes. One of the biggest things I use is I make a very simple chicken salad.
Okay.
And then I put it on, sometimes I just scoop it out with some zucchini.
Okay.
This is zucchini, or I put it on a Wassa cracker, and it helps a lot. I mean, that's what I usually eat if I feel a headache coming
okay.
on.
Okay. So you put some chicken breast in there.
Yeah. Chicken breast, some celery.
Celery.
What
kind of mayonnaise are you using?
I'm using Heinz safflower mayo.
Okay. Not Miracle Whip.
Not Miracle Whip. And, you know, Hellman's is better than Miracle Whip. So
right.
If, you know.
The real.
If the real Hellman's. So, and then also, like, at night, it's really important, if you're getting a lot of morning sickness, to eat a good snack at night.
Right.
Before you go to bed. And I usually have berries with real whipping cream.
Right. And I know something that I did, because I would get a lot of morning sickness too, is during those first few months, when I woke up during the night, probably to, like, go to the bathroom or something, or just woke up, I would actually go down and get a small snack, and that helped me feel better in the morning. So I do, like, half a banana with some almond butter, or a Wassa cracker and almond butter, or some berries and
yeah.
cream or something during the night. And that would help me feel better in the morning. So again, you know, just remembering that during pregnancy, it's a wonderful time. You're growing a new life inside of you. So, you know, really make a conscious effort to, you know, feed yourself well, feed your baby well, stay away from those trans fats, all the sugars, because it does affect your baby and how you feel. And just eat lots of real food that is going to make you feel wonderful and help you have a healthy baby, and just enjoy the time. And thanks for listening today to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we'll be back with you again next week.